This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
God bless you. Folks, we're going to continue to bring you coverage from the Democratic National Convention. There were so many interviews, there just wasn't enough time to get them all posted. We'll hear more today. But just before that, a very special announcement took place yesterday on the part of the Biden administration and HBCUs. Ladies and gentlemen, we're joined now by the White House Director of HBCU Initiatives, Dr. Deitra Trent. Dr. Trent, how are you? Welcome back to Make It Plain.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so great to be back, and I am great.
It's a pleasure to have you. So big news today in terms of more investment in our HBCUs.
Correct.
Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so this is an administration who makes no apologies and investing in HBCUs. In May, the president announced that the administration had invested over $16 billion. And then today, he announced that number has grown to over $17 billion. Now, when we talk about the investment, we're talking about a whole of government investment. This administration, this president has had one of the most significant equity agendas in the history of this country. And when we talk about investing in HBCUs, the call has gone out to all of our federal agencies that we want HBCUs at the table. So this is money, the research money that's come in from federal agencies, and our HBCUs are able to compete and win those grants. A large portion of what he announced today comes from grants to our students, though. Pell grants.
Okay. And so that's important because we know how much our students need those.
Right. 75% of our students are Pell eligible. And over 50% are first generation. And so it's necessary that we continue to invest in our students.
So this is Pell grants, but that's not all, right?
In terms of today?
Yes.
Today's announcement, there were some competitive research grants that was included in that money as well.
That's right. And this is research grants. Are these in particular fields, Dr. Trent?
So it's in various fields. Some of it was from UNC, NSF. I think a couple of them were from Commerce, and so it's mostly STEM related research.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what difference will it make in terms of what our HBCUs are able to accomplish for our students, these announcements today?
Well, for the students themselves, this is money that goes towards their paying for their education. So that makes a huge difference when our students don't have to work and are eligible for additional funding. This administration has increased Pell Grants by $900 since it's been here, which is the largest increase in a long time. This president has continued to talk about doubling Pell Grant, and he has said that this should just be a down payment on that effort. And so it goes a long way in terms of our students and making sure they're able to complete college.
And so now this, as you mentioned, $16 billion already in terms of investment. And today we're talking about a total of $1.3 billion. Is that correct?
It was $1.3 billion, so we're at over $17 billion in investment.
And from what you just said, you aren't finished either, are you?
I'm not finished. This administration's not finished. We're going to continue to push. We're going to continue to push it.
Yeah, no, that's very, very important. And this money, it goes into effect immediately, right?
It is already in effect. Exactly. This is money that they have received.
All right. So this and this, in terms of Pell Grants, this is for students throughout all of our HBCUs.
Some of the
R&D money is mostly for those in the STEM fields, but the Pell Grants are for all the students, right?
It is for all students. It's all students across the country. It's not just designated to HBCU students. But such a large majority of our students are Pell eligible because many of our students come from low income families. And so they are receiving these grants as well.
Outstanding. So, and as she said, folks, they're not finished. No administration has made historically an investment in HBCUs as much as this one.
Absolutely right.
That's right.
That's absolutely correct.
Dr. Trent, we always appreciate speaking with you and thank you again for your support of our HBCUs.
Thank you so much. It's been great to be with you.
Likewise.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Here at the Democratic National Convention, of course, and we have here with us former Secretary Daley, and we're in your town, as a matter of fact, where your dad was the mayor. Were you born here in Cincinnati?
Oh yeah, I was. I hate to admit, yes, I was 20 years old in 1968.
You couldn't say it, no.
I gotta tell the truth. And then my brother was mayor also.
That's right. So you were an adult in 1968.
Yeah, I was 20 years old.
Big difference between 2024 and 1968, I've taken.
Yeah, you know, we had a convention in '96 that was also great. '68 was one of the most tumultuous years in the history of our country. 500,000 kids sitting in Vietnam, the president chased out of office, with Martin Luther King assassinated, and all the riots after that assassination, Bobby Kennedy assassinated. You had six people killed in the Republican convention during the Republican convention in Miami. And it all rolled in Chicago. So it was a tumultuous year for America. This year is very different. We have challenges, but I think there's an excitement, as there was in 1996 in Chicago, about bringing the convention and the opportunities that come from this.
Yeah. How are you feeling about... Well, one thing you mentioned that was interesting, though, it's a little bit similar in the sense that you had an incumbent president in 68. He stepped out early, of course, in March, but he was an incumbent who stepped out.
Right.
Clearly not as much turmoil as it was with what was going on in the convention floor. How do you feel about the change? How do you feel about Kamala Harris?
Well, I think she's excited America. It's incredible what she's done in 6 weeks. Now, 6 weeks doesn't make an election.
Right.
We know the next 70, 80 days, whatever it is the most difficult. But she couldn't have had it. No one could have imagined quite a start like this and the excitement she's generated. We had one night last night, obviously, a very dramatic goodbye to President Biden. Hillary Clinton's speech was amazing, as were a number of others. But I think the excitement that's being generated by the vice president and the opportunity for her campaign is unprecedented. And, we just got a lot of work to do to keep that going.
Do you think more of the public is coming on board and seeing the contrast with Donald Trump?
I think that will happen over time. Mm-hmm. I think of what's happened in the first couple of weeks, quite frankly, are those people who follow politics, who maybe were a little disillusioned with President Biden, really excited about it, where all of a sudden now they've seen a change and they have become engaged. The challenge will be to keep that and her and she to tell America who she is, how she thinks through, what are her values, how would she govern and lead this great country, and how she would lead the world. Major challenges, in spite of the fact of her record and the job she had as vice president and the stature that comes with that, she really wasn't the principal dancer on the dance floor. She is now.
Yeah.
And that's a Herculean task to step up to that. But so far, the first 6 weeks, she sure has shown her ability to do that.
Were you one who agreed that President Biden should have stepped aside?
When the
time said you were.
Yeah, okay. I felt that, quite frankly, for a while.
Really?
I've known the president for 40 years. I think he's a great human being.
No question.
But and the American public has been saying for a long time in research that they just thought his time was. Mm-hmm. And elections are about the future. They're not about the past. Mm-hmm. And this election with Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, against now, someone much older, is about the future and a generational change and someone who may be able to express what America should be and the better sort of angels of our country and not just be so down on America as President Trump seems to be lately.
You know, it's interesting too. We heard some in the public say they didn't want two elderly people. And you don't know whether to believe that, but it almost, Secretary Dale, seems like that's proven true. Because it has literally shifted overnight. Now Trump is the old guy, and he's suffering in terms of the public opinion because of it. It's like people really just wanted something for.
Well, as an old guy, I don't.
I'm a Trump. You know.
No, but that's true. Look at it again. Election's about the future.
Right.
President Trump had his 4 years, and people rejected him. They kind of know what his stick is. And I think people want to move on from that, even if you may not agree with everything about President Biden or Vice President Harris or what she stands for. You know, this is about the next 4 years. Not the last 4 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think she's exhibiting that she can be that changed person. And that's what elections are about.
So what are you doing with yourself these days?
I'm doing a bunch of consulting. I was vice chairman of Wells Fargo until June.
That's right.
It's a great opportunity. It's a great bank. It's coming back. Charlie Scharf's a great leader. We have great people. So I've been lucky in life, and I've been trying to enjoy it a little more.
How important is it that this comes back to your hometown, your father's, where your father served as mayor?
You know, my father and brother love this city. They led it together 43 years. It is a great city. It's America's city, and I think people are enjoying themselves. Yes, we have our issues. Yes, we have our problems. But it's a great city, America's greatest city, and we're just showing our best this week.
It looks great around here, too. Brandon Johnson is a friend.
Oh.
So he's in office. He has me come to the office to visit. And he takes me, so as I'm sure you know, this layout has changed. So the great big wooden room that was your dad's office is sort of a reception area now. But he took me in there and he said, Mark, this is where Mayor Daley met with Dr. King when he came here in the 60s. And it was like really just blue, just blue memory. Right. You remember that too?
Mm-hmm.
Did you meet Dr. King when he came to see your dad?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, he it was a tumultuous time.
Yeah.
And he and my father, they may have had their differences, but they both worked out a deal, and they moved forward.
Yeah.
They tried to make the city better. He had they were very different people, but there was no animus between the two of them. There wasn't any sort of. And Andy Young, who I've gotten to know over the years, pretty much confirmed that to me.
Really?
Yeah, and it was, it's almost different times. And lots of people today think back to those days and they make statements that they have no idea what they're talking about.
Right, right.
There wasn't, people may have disagreed then, but they didn't do it with the hate in politics.
Right. And there was also some sense people had, well, we've got to work something out.
Right.
It wasn't just anarchy, like what Trump does. It's like, you know, we got to work something out.
Right.
If we can't agree on 10 things, we're going to try to agree on 3 things.
Right. You can't, as Bill Clinton used to say, you can't make the perfect the enemy of the good.
That's right. That's right. No, you're absolutely right.
Perfection, if you believe in the next life, that's the only place you're going to get it.
Would you want to serve in another administration?
No, that's it.
Yes, there, real quick, y'all.
I've been lucky and had an opportunity with President Obama and President Clinton. It's time for a new generation to come in and add to it and change and improve our country.
So what are you going to do? What do you want to do? What do you say?
Just hang out.
Chill?
Talk to you? No, you know, I'm lucky. I've got three great kids, 3 grandkids.
Wonderful.
My wife and I are enjoying life. I'm staying busy. I'm staying active in politics, staying active in business.
Are you still living? Are you here? Are you,
yeah.
Oh, so you're home.
Sure,
so
yeah. We're home.
Okay.
Yep, for sure.
Secretary Rich Daley, pleasure to talk to you again, man.
Take care.
All right. Folks, now, and again, we're live here at the United Center for the 2024 Democratic National Convention. We're going to hear about an organization called Emerge, and its president is with us, Ashanti Golar. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
You are.
All right.
You got it right.
That's a beautiful name. Where's your name from?
Thank you. So my grandfather loved African history and the Ashanti tribe.
Yes.
He passed before I was born, so I was named Ashanti in his honor.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Tell us about Emerge.
Well, we are really excited to be here at this convention because Emerge came out of the vice president's very first race for DA in the Bay Area.
Okay.
Our co-founders were friends with her, so they helped with the campaign and all those things you need to do. A bio, put together your contact list, the canvassing, the phone banking, and they realized that there wasn't an organization to support great women like Kamala to run for office, but also provide that network of support that they saw that she needed. So Emerge was established in 2002, our national organization in 2005. Now we train 6,000 women to run for office through our training programs. Over half of them have run for office and won, and we currently have over 1,200 serving in elected office at all levels.
Wow, that's amazing. We need
that.
Thank
you. We do.
So y'all got the memo early about black women running for office and being successful.
We did.
But I don't want to be presumptuous. Is it just black women, or you all help all women?
We help all women, but I love that you talked about black women because we do focus on the new American majority. Black, brown, and indigenous women, women of color, unmarried women, young women, and unmarried women. But we also have a program called Seated Together that focuses on black women elected officials and having them run for higher office. Mm-hmm. And we're super excited to have had Congresswoman Amelia Seitz come out of that program.
Okay.
Joanna McClinton, the first woman speaker in the Pennsylvania State House.
Okay.
London Lamar, who's the youngest woman in the Tennessee State Senate.
Yeah.
We're really just really thrilled. And then we have LaMonica McIver from New Jersey, who won the special election to replace Congressman Payne after his passing.
And you know, you talk about diversity. And when Trump was going crazy, Kamala Harris looks like what America is now. I mean, she is that makeup.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even as diverse as America is. And I'm just regular black dude. I mean, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's everybody's out of everything now.
It is.
And that's okay.
It is. And I think we have to be honest, that bothers him, that bothers his supporters, because they want that status quo, because that status quo benefits them.
It can only be the case, and clearly that's impressive. I wasn't aware of that, folks. Well-kept secret. You've been already trained 6,000. That's a lot. Imagine how that's going to expand.
Yes.
As a result of just this week.
Yes.
And I'm certain you are also helping women at all levels of the political spectrum. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, people call me, I want to run for U.S. Senate. So wait a minute. You haven't done anybody?
Yeah.
the other things you can do first.
Yeah.
That we actually need.
Right.
State representatives do redistricting.
Yes.
School board members stop moms from liberty from tearing up curriculums, right? So it's also about training people that it's okay to run down ballot because you're right, actually might be right in the corner where you are, right?
Yeah. So let's give your listeners a fun fact.
Okay.
How many elected offices do you think exist in this country?
Ooh. I couldn't even guess.
520,000.
Really?
520,000.
Total, 520,000. Okay.
Yeah, 520,000 people that get to shape our lives with a stroke of a pen. And like you said, people think about president, vice president, Senate, Congress. The majority of those are at the state and local level.
Yeah.
And that's where we need people running because they have the most direct impact on our daily lives.
We talk about police violence.
Mm.
Some of us still think that either Twitter, some national office will stop police violence.
No.
But that's at the local. The police are governed.
Yeah.
But we need people on city councils and mayor's offices.
Yes. Yeah. It's also those law enforcement positions. And before I became the president of our organization, I was the political director. So I started our women in law enforcement work. Because I like to say you can't change the criminal justice system without changing the faces of criminal justice reform. So you need more women, more black people in those roles. I'm excited about our work with AGs. We have a partnership with the Democratic Attorney General Association. Andrea Campbell, the first black woman AG in Massachusetts, she's one of ours. Sheriffs, we have so many alums who are the first woman sheriff. Prosecutors.
Just to be clear, our sheriffs are elected. Police chiefs aren't. That's the difference between sheriffs.
Right. But I'm also just proud of our judges. We have a program called Gavel In to train women to run for judicial positions. We have 109 Emerge alums that are judges, with the majority of them being black women.
Now, I'm glad you said that. Because notice been this, it really started when she first ran for president.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's a prosecutor.
She's a cop. Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I mean, I was looking at this. Wait a minute. So we don't want black folk in positions?
Right.
I mean, who made that decision?
Right.
And we know a lot of that online is bots and it's targeted misinformation.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that, though. Why it's important to have people that look like us in those positions.
When we especially think about the prosecutor DA role, the role that the vice president had, her very first race, they get to make so many decisions about who gets charged with what. I mean, when we look at, you know, marijuana, cannabis, whatever you want to call it, they're the ones who get to decide, does that person go to jail for several years or do they get off with a warning?
Right.
That all starts with who the DA and the prosecutor is. And it has to be people from our community with our lived experiences who know the detrimental impact that some of these decisions have. It can be someone being able to get that warning, turn their life around, or are they going to go down the wrong path?
Yeah, very, very important. So, this is a national organization.
It is.
So if there are people listening, especially young women who are inspired, what do they do? How do they get in touch with you? And what's the process?
So visit us on our website, emergeamerica.org. Mm-hmm. We're also on social media at Emerge America. Mm-hmm. Or you can just go ahead and message me. I'm Ashanti Golar on all social media handles.
All right. Congratulations. Thanks for all the work you do.
Thank you for having me on.
How does it fit? So are you Bay Area too? Are you from?
I'm in D.C. now, but I'm originally from Las Vegas, and I helped start the Emerge Nevada affiliate.
Okay. How are you feeling as a black woman about this moment?
Oh, it's everything. I continue to just get emotional throughout the week. But for me especially, not only seeing the vice president, her connection to Emerge, me being able to get to know her. I say she's the ultimate girl's girl. She's all about uplifting other women, but also having Mignon Moore be the convention chair. She's one of my mentors. Again, a girl's girl who lifted me up. So I get to see two women who are very special to me shine.
Yeah.
Well, I'm all emotional.
Yeah. And you shining too. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
It's time to. You see my chair?
I like it.
We from Ghana, y'all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Good luck.
Thank you.
We're going to spread the world. Folks, this is very, very important. Be inspired. Get involved. We need people. Redistricting.
Yes.
Police violence. School boards. All the things we need in our communities we can run for. And this is the hour for women.
It is. We're going to get it done. Let's do it. Right.
Wonderful. Nice to meet you, Conti. Keep up the great work. Anything
Thank
we can
you.
Do to be supportive,
appreciate
let us know. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Wonderful.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.